Michael Schmidt is a founder and the editorial and managing director of Carcanet Press and general editor of PN Review. In this interview, we ask Michael Schmidt to answer some frequently asked questions about submitting work to Carcanet. Okay, Michael, how many submissions does Carcanet receive each week?
It receives between 10 and 30 submissions.
How many poems can a poet submit?
We always ask that the initial submission not include more than 10 pages of poetry. So it could be one long poem or a chunk of a long poem, or it could be 20 very short poems. We don't like to see the full manuscript in the first instance.
Can you describe the kind of poetry that Carcanet is looking for?
No, I can't, oddly enough. The list, as you know, includes writers from the experimentalists down to traditionalists. There's no particular kind of poetry we're looking for, unless one uses the qualifier good poetry, which comes in many different forms and shapes.
In a submission, there's also the covering letter. What are you looking for?
Well, the covering letter, I've been thinking about this recently. The two most effective covering letters we've had recently were very, very tiny scrawled notes, not even typed, which accompanied wonderful poems. And you read the poems and thought, my goodness, these are good. And then you looked to the letter and it told you almost nothing. So the mystery was heightened by the very short, cryptic letter. And that created a great deal of suspense for the editor, and that was very good. Usually, though, writers are told to tell the publisher any distinctive qualities that the author has as an author. Questions of age, questions of education, background, and so on, can be very useful, can be very interesting. But on the whole, it's the poems that matter rather than the covering letter. A long covering letter is a bad idea.
How long should a poet expect to receive a response?
Well, if the editor doesn't like the poems, they go back almost immediately. So if there's a delay, the chances are that the poems are being read quite attentively. And it really depends on the time of year. Because I'm an academic, during the summer I tend to respond much more quickly than I do during term time when I'm reading thousands of submissions from students on the creative writing course. So it shouldn't be more than 6 weeks, but occasionally it is.
What is Carcanet's position on simultaneous submissions?
We're very much against it. Reading a manuscript is an investment of time and effort, and if you really like it, the last thing you want to find out is that somebody else has offered on it as well. We're not rich enough to enter into bidding wars, and so we always think that if poets submit their work to Carcanet, it's because they want to be published by Carcanet, not just because they want to be published.
How many authors have you accepted from the slush pile?
Carcanet being 40 now, I suppose down the years we accept 3 or 4 a year, possibly from the slush pile on average. So that would give us 100, 160, somewhere between those two numbers. The slush pile is the thing I dread most and the thing I value most. It really is a wonderful resource, though the best resource for me as an editor is PN Review, where I often discover poets. PN Review is not continuous with Carcanet, but PN Review is for me a kind of filter through which I often find wonderful poets. I remember Sujata Bhatt, one of our best poets, submitted poems to PN Review, and I immediately said, I'd like to see a book of your work. This has happened recently with two other poets.
Speaking of new poets, how many first collections do you publish each year?
Well, 1 year recently we did 6, another year we did 1. You can't, there's no, as it were, fixed number. But I would have thought we averaged 3 or 4 a year, which is a goodly number, I think.
Despite the ease of publishing online, there is still an astonishingly large number of submissions to Carcanet. Can you explain that?
I think a poet who's really interested in the quality of his or her work is interested in having it validated. So there's an imprint is an imprimatur as well. And I think most poets who are serious about their art like to be edited. They like to come up against a resistance, and an editor is a kind of resistance who will sometimes suggest that they make changes, change the order of their poetry, and so on. And in the questions that the editor asks, there can be, the poet can define him or herself more clearly, or can, as it were, improve him or herself. So I think that a really serious poet is always going to want an editor. Printing online, publishing online, or vanity publishing, or even some of the new companies who do print-on-demand publishing, don't give the author that kind of resistance, that kind of discipline, if you like.
Now, Carcanet has a reputation for publishing writers from all over the world. Do you have any specific advice for poets who are interested in submitting from outside the UK?
Usually we don't publish first collections by poets outside the UK. We have done a few, and we've done them often when there are writers who come from countries where there is no really strong publishing industry, like Zimbabwe, or indeed like Jamaica. I think it's always best for a poet coming from a culture such as Australia, New Zealand, or the United States, or Canada, probably to have some kind of publishing base there already, and then to come to Carcanet, rather than to expect Carcanet to start their career off. If you're an American poet and you're first published in the UK, in the olden days, you did this as a matter of course. Robert Frost came to Britain in order to become an American poet. He needed validation. But I don't think this is the case anymore. In fact, I think the real validation for an American poet comes from being published in the States and in Australia too. There is this sort of sense of a belonging to a national literature. And I think this is something that poets from abroad should bear in mind. Most of the poets that we publish from the States, from New Zealand and Australia and so on, are established in those countries to some extent. Whereas, of course, our Zimbabwean poet, our Jamaicans and so on, are not necessarily so well established in their own countries yet, though they're getting there rapidly.
That's brilliant. Do you have any closing remarks or final words of advice?
I think that the most important thing when you're submitting to any imprint, Carcanet, Blood Axe, Anvil, Faber, is to know the list that you're submitting to. It's important to have a sense of the culture of that imprint to, as it were, be really interested in it, not in the sense that you're interested in it as a market researcher is interested in market research, but that you're actually interested in the poets that that list publishes. There are very substantial differences between the different imprints, and if you misjudge, miscalculate, or misaim, you're simply wasting your time and somebody else's. And one always thinks that if you're joining a list, you're joining something like a culture, a team, if you like, and it's important that you should be at home with the other poets on that list. So I think that's my main advice, is that you shouldn't send your poetry to an imprint whose books you're not familiar with.
Further details about how to submit your work can be found on the information page on the Carcanet website, www.carcanet.co.uk. Also see Michael Schmidt's chapter on getting poetry published in the Writers and Artists Yearbook.